Get the best odds on all the big games this March. Download the Circa Sports Iowa app today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It's Monday morning. Football and Random Things. Of course, Football and Random Things is brought to you by our friends at Wyffels Hybrids. When it comes to selecting your seed corn partner, you've got a choice to make. At Wyffels Hybrids, we've made a choice too. A choice to remain independent, a choice to remain farm family owned, a choice to stay American. So when it's your turn to make a choice, make a statement, plant your independence, plant Wyffels. Hello, Jeff. What do you, I just about called you George Niang for some reason. I don't know why.
We look exactly the same. We're you both do. 6'10" basketball builds.
You guys, yeah, George isn't 6'10" either. So you're just saying things at this point, but you guys look close. Yeah. It's, for some reason, I don't know. George Niang was on my mind. Actually, I was thinking in the back of my mind that when I said plant Wyffels, I was channeling my inner Gus Johnson, for just a split second.
Oh yeah. 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 Just every read is the most important read on earth. And it's like a game six.
Yeah. Vibe. And at the very end, you've got to put a ton of emphasis on whatever it is you're saying. It's my favorite thing.
But not the last word. It's the three words before the last word.
Yes. I was just going to say my favorite thing from Saturday was when is every week when Gus opens the game and he'll say, from Iowa City, it's Big Ten football on Fox, you know. And it's like, man, it just is. Every other word is either really drawn out or really emphasized, and I just love Gus Johnson.
And you know,
Gus
that
Johnson,
like,
called Iowa State games
after, you know, having been in the booth at least a fair amount of times, like, you know that he's just like, he's looking down, like he's not trying to do that, like, that's,
no,
just like,
does it.
That's how he would ask, like, every morning, my wife and I usually, because I work from home and she works from home, so we usually have eggs at like 9. So it'd, yeah, be the exact same thing as me being like, hey, Aaron, do you want some toast with your eggs? Like, it's the same thing. Like, it's, he's just looking down, doing nothing. And just, it just happens to sound like Gus Johnson. Like, I imagine that's how he talks in normal everyday life.
I'm just going to start calling you my running back, like he calls Joel Klatt his quarterback.
So I'm okay with that.
Alongside my quarterback. All right. Iowa State with a 14-11 loss to Kansas on Saturday down in Lawrence. Weird ass game, man. I was there in the stadium. I was telling you before we got started, I wrote about this in Musings. Just everything around Kansas football right now gives off strong Iowa State in 2017 vibes, where anytime something goes wrong, you're not too mad about it because you've seen things go wrong a lot. Anytime that something goes really well, you're just really happy. And at the end of the day, you don't care how you win. You're just happy to win. And I think that that's where the Jayhawks probably were on Saturday. But from an Iowa State perspective, a very frustrating game for a lot of different reasons. Jeff, where does this rank in all-time drunken football games you've watched?
All-time drunken football games. Now, this game was so odd because there was like, there wasn't a natural rhythm that got established to it. You know, like, there's, I think that was the thing that was the weirdest about it, is that, you know, Campbell talks about rhythm of the game all the time, is what does this game want us to be? Is this game going to be a 10-7 slobber knocker drag out defensive battle where you're probably going to punt every six plays? So you're really just trying to not turn it over, advance it a little bit and turn it around. Or is it going to be, you know, the Lions and Seahawks on Sunday where it's 48-45. Like, what does this game want to be? And this game, like, it never, the game
it never
wanted,
made a decision.
Yeah, the game wanted to be weird. Like, it just held the front door open and kept walking in and out of leaving or coming, changing something or coming back. And like, this was the last every drive in the second half for Kansas. 6 plays, 34 yards, punt. 5 plays, 17 yards, punt. 3 plays, 0 yards, punt. 2 plays, negative 13 yards, fumble. 3 plays, negative 8 yards, punt, half, end of game.
And that was after, I think, they put up 111 yards on their first two drives and then had 92 the rest of the game.
Yeah. I mean, the defense played absolutely out of their minds, which I think is good because early in the year, I mean, it's sort of flipped where like early in the season, we kind of had a lot of confidence in the offense and how they were going to execute and how they were going to be able to, you know, what this offense was going to be. And then the defense is a little bit questioned. So like, are they going to blitz more? Are they going to get pressure? How are they going to do that? Like all those things are like, they're just a little different. And this game, like, if officially flipped the script that the defense is back, like we can, I mean, if we ever had a doubt that the defense was going to be going to be good, it's changed. And now we have some questions about the offense, but I don't think, again, I'm still not ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but man, this game's odd.
I fell for the professor's gambit after the opening drive or after Kansas's first scoring drive, the one they went, I can't remember, they went 70 yards and scored, but their offense was moving. They look good, you know, that they're going to put up some points on some good defenses this year.
Well,
I mean, I don't know, but
I'm going to say yes and no to that. So this, I think the overarching fact on this is, you know, it's, we talked about it again in the Baylor game, but it came to more of a fruition in this game and it's starting to come to fruition for Kansas. So the Caleb Williams phenomenon, what is it? Can we just call it the Caleb Williams effect and trademark that?
Yeah, I think that would probably be the best one to throw it to because of how he played one game and everybody thought he was going to win the Heisman.
It's called the Caleb Williams effect. Yeah. So, I mean, the kid's going to, you know, he's one of the odds on favorites to win the Heisman this year. He's a really good player. Right. But last year, through two games or one half, everybody was like, get this kid the Heisman Trophy. He is incredible. Right. And then 3 games later, defense has figured out what he doesn't like to do, and they made him do a whole lot of what he doesn't like to do.
Oddly enough, against Kansas. They figured it out.
And part of that is actually getting a script. And so, like, it's a sort of like, when you watch film, it's like a collaborative effort with every other coach that's doing something on there. It's, what is your idea? And does your idea work better than my idea? And early on, teams against Iowa State didn't know what they were going to do. And then Dave Aranda, specifically in the second half, Baylor's defense is way better than Kansas's defense, which is another frustrating thing. But they took away Xavier Hutchinson's deep plays, essentially. Is they're playing a middle and a deep coverage over top of Xavier Hutchinson, whether it's zone or whether it's man, whether it's double covered man, like whatever it is, they're trying to hang over top of Xavier Hutchinson. They're going to shade somebody over there. So you can't just throw these little hole shots, because Decker's, where he's at his best is throwing, you know, kid's got a cannon. We saw a few really big passes and we know where that's going to go. But where he's at, when the offense is clicking, it's 17-yard pass play, 22-yard pass play, 12-yard pass play, 6-yard pass play, 12-yard run. And it's those hole shots where you're hitting, you know, Deshaun Haneke for 14 yards and stuff like that. Well, by taking away X in his intermediate and deep routes, which is what they did, and then being able to have their safety sit sort of low and then play down on anything short, any dump offs out of the backfield or to a crosser, that took Iowa State, it has taken Iowa State out of its comfortable rhythm. Bring this back to Kansas. Haycock gave everybody the blueprint on how to stop Kansas. Because this is the first time that Jalen Daniels has really been stopped since like the end of last season into this season. No one's really held that offense down. And the thing that they did is they played really solid contain And then you had safeties come up and run fit really well. Like Anthony Johnson played a hell of a game. It just, he got trucked one time, but Anthony Johnson and Bo Freeler were in the mix, making a bunch of tackles.
Jeremiah Cooper
is really good. Also, I would say Kendall Jackson, if he didn't work his way into a starting role, he worked his way into playing a lot more snaps because Gary Vaughn made a couple mental mistakes, especially like that bust to the fullback that looks like a tackle.
The Applebee's guy, the Applebee's kid after the win over Texas.
So, again, just on, that's on brand marketing right there. That is.
I was just thinking in the back of my mind, of course, the like tight end that caught that one, like that's what you would have been doing. You would have been doing commercials for the local Applebee's.
I mean, hopefully I have better standards than Applebee's, but if they're going to pay,
come in and get the Wood Burger.
Oh,
it would have been like a big like bratwurst or something, like the Wood Dog. Come in and get the Wood Dog.
the Woody, and it's just a bratwurst on a plate with two russet potatoes.
Right now at Applebee's, covered in ranch or something.
Yeah, just on the one end. anyway, but like. Gary Vaughn didn't have his best game and Kendall played really well, but like defensively, so they gave the roadmap. How do you transition out of that? They gave the roadmap for how to stop Kansas. So like they're going to have to evolve a lot because one of the things that Jalen Daniels doesn't do. And so I got a couple texts from people, and I don't know, you probably get the same thing of like, hey, what happened?
Yeah. I never want to talk to those people.
So with one of the questions they said is like, yeah, the defense played really well, but they also missed a couple wide open receivers in the end zone or for deep passes. Right. I mean, obviously you don't want to have those happen in the first place, but they're also kind of daring Kansas to do that where it's sort of like leaving, let's take Dustin Hoge, for example, and leaving him open for a 28-foot 3. Okay. You're going to make one or two of those, fine. You can have those. If you're going to make one or two of those plays, we just don't think that you're going to make them repeatedly. So you're going to be more aggressive to the run. You're going to be more aggressive to short and intermediate passing routes. And if you get beat over the top, we don't think that you're going to complete too many of those in the first place. So yeah, you're going to gamble a little bit that those aren't going to come down. And they didn't. So it's kind of part of the game plan is force Dustin Hoge out to, shoot a 28-foot 3.
Yeah, well, ask Lon Kruger and the Oklahoma Sooners what happens when you let Dustin Hoke float around out there and shoot those three-pointers, man.
So sometimes you're going to hit him, Sometimes
it'll cap a 21-0 run to come back from down 18 and beat a ranked team.
And other times it won't. But like there is a blueprint now to shut down Kansas. So I think that, this week, I don't know if TCU's defense is as good as I don't think TCU's defense is as good as Iowa State's, but they're still going to have the capacity to take what Iowa State did and go, okay, Jalen Daniels, can you go through your progressions and read like a quarterback? And then can you be patient enough to take 4 yards instead of 10 and 12 and 15 yards on runs? So I feel like this is going to change the trajectory of Kansas and that they're going to have to adjust because other teams will make them do what they don't want to do in the same way that Kansas did that to Iowa State on offense.
I did like the way that Kansas incorporated the option. I don't know, even though Iowa State did a good job of stopping it outside of the one time early in the game. I don't know. I just liked the way they ran their offense.
It's really creative, but if you can successfully complete those deep balls, then that triple option becomes, or the more option becomes 10 times more effective, because imagine if they do land, or if you're able to land two deep passes, which back your safeties out. So one of the ways you stop the option is you tackle in space, you bring your safeties down to fill gaps, and now you can actually tackle everybody.
Well, and one of the issues too is, I mean, so much of being able to play that style of ball at a high level is about being able to execute it correctly, and like, does Kansas have the personnel to be able to do that when people know what they're going to do to stop it or what they need to do to stop it, That's that was my thing. It's like, I thought Iowa State's defensive line like kicked their ass for the most part. Will McDonald was awesome.
Will McDonald was awesome.
He made some plays.
MJ Anderson was really good too.
Isaiah Lee was really good right up the middle. Dom Orange played pretty well in the times that he came in. It was just, I don't know. Like I said, I was impressed by the way Kansas's offenses looked, but that was in comparison to past Kansas offenses, you legitimately felt some level of danger every time they were on the field.
Mm-hmm. Until kind of the very end when you saw
until the very end,
punt,
once
punt,
the defense
punt,
had,
fumble and you're like, all right, defense has got it figured out.
Yeah, once the defense had it figured out. All right, but I mean, the story of this game in my mind is not Iowa State's defense as well as they played. I don't think that it's really even the special teams either. We can talk about the special teams because they're obviously a crucial part of the game, but I think you would prefer to not have the game in a situation where your freshman kicker has to kick a field goal four times.
Yeah, and I feel bad for the kid because and I don't know necessarily what his like mental state is, because as an 18 or a 19 year old kid, it is really hard. Again, that's at a pressure cooker of a situation. But one of the things that I think he has the advantage of now, or the possible advantage of, is this is a really hard thing. Like, it is really hard to be in that spotlight, to have that thing happen and it not go your way. You know, the example that I have is it was senior night in 2012 against West Virginia. They substitute me in. We're on like the 6 yard line going in. We're down enough to where if we score a touchdown, we take the lead. And someone's helmet hits the ball. We fumble. They turn around. Tavon Austin takes one for 80 yards. Ball game over. We lose. And I felt personally responsible for that. And I remember I was to tears on the sideline. I apologized to every single one of the teammates that I could possibly find. Some of them wanted to hear it. Some of them didn't, you know, it's senior night. It's a hard loss. But one of the things that comes after that is you're going to get some horrible shit said to you on the internet, because people think they're really tough when you can't sit with them, when you're not in the same space with them. And you're going to have, but you're more likely to say horrible things to yourself. But one of the great things about sports is it's a controlled, pressurized environment that doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yes, there's gambling money on the line for some people, but ultimately if a team loses or wins, it doesn't really change. It's not like you're a doctor. It's not like you're an attorney. It's like, if you're a judge and you have a really rough day and you sentence someone to 5 years more than they should, or release a guilty person to go do bad things, like, that's stakes. These are not stakes. Like, sports are not stakes, but it feels really pressure packed. So when you have these pressurized things that don't go your way, you have to build a mental skill set to come back from them. And life's going to kick you in the face 1,000 times by the time you're dead. So this thing happening early in his career is going to allow him the capacity to build those mechanisms to deal with horrible shit happening, because it's going to happen on the field, and then kind of, you know, the sports for life type thing. It's going to be able to get him out of it. So, you know, it's bad and it's pressures and it sucks and he's heard all of it. And, you know, whatever happens on the sidelines with people talking to him and throwing stuff at him and whatever, like, all of that, whether it happened or not, or how negative it is, he's going to now have the capacity to come back from it, or he's going to have it bury him. And, you know, he's a young kid and he's going to got a supportive coaching staff around him. So I don't think that it's going to be a bury him thing, but it's a hard thing to have happen, but it's a great thing to learn from at this point in his career.
Another good example I think of, Cole Metten, missed the kicks against Toledo in 2015, comes back the next year, had one of the best. I mean, I think he was statistically one of the best kickers that Iowa State's ever had, might have been the all-time leading scorer. He's another one that I think about, took a lot of heat, especially I think early in that year, and then bounced back.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
But again, I mean, it comes back to, I mean, Iowa State had 10 drives in this game, 7 different times they got into Kansas territory and they kicked 4 field goals. And that just doesn't, I mean, that can't happen. That's why I say, like, it shouldn't have been in the scenario where the true freshman kicker has the game on his right foot. You know, yeah. The offense has to do a better job of being able to execute when it comes down to, I mean, comes down to nut cutting time, you know, inside the 40. And I think that Hunter is, I mean, we're seeing the same thing we're talking about with the Caleb Williams effect. We're seeing the same thing with Hunter right now, you know, mm-hmm. And teams are starting to take away some of the elements of his. He is so good when he gets in a rhythm, especially I thought early in that game. You saw when they're able to play with that pace, he looks really good, you know, but the second they get knocked off that rhythm, things start to really snowball on him a little bit. It seems like things start moving too fast or something, and he starts to make some mistakes.
Well, and I wonder if it's a little bit of him seeing red, you know, like the, you know, the old expression, I think it's from bullfighting, where like you get them all, you get a bull all pissed off, and then you can actually, it's safer then because you understand what they're going to do, as opposed to if they're more calm or whatever, then they're more unpredictable, versus when you get them all pissed off, then they're going to sprint in one direction, and you can, that's when the matadors start to become easier to avoid. And so I think that they're probably doing a little bit of that stuff, and he's kind of fallen into it where, you know, again, basketball example is like Isaiah Brockington, take away his drive to the left, pull up jumper. Don't let him do that. And then every once in a while, give him a hand check. Every once in a while, collision him off a screen. Every once in a while, make it so he then has to be frustrated that he can't get to his spot and get frustrated. There's a bunch of this like ticky-tack crap. Like, I don't want, I'm getting held around screens or whatever. It's make him frustrated, because the more frustrated that he gets, the less accurate he becomes. And so I think the same, they're doing the same thing with Deckers, is they're taking away the thing that he doesn't want to do, and they're making him just generally frustrated. And when he gets frustrated, you know, as almost everybody does, is you get tunnel vision to what you think you want. And that's looking for number eight, or that's trying to chuck it down the field where you shouldn't. You know, it's that interception that I think it was Dimitri Stanley was Sean Shaw.
Yeah, where he tried to throw it to Shaw in the corner. It got, and he, yeah, the guy was out of bounds. Yeah.
And you just get, when you're frustrated, you start to, you know, you're starting to force things, you know, the screw, you're trying to drill something and the screw doesn't, it's starting to strip a little bit. And then you're trying to pull the drill hard. And like, the easier thing to do is back out and put a different screw in there. You know, like in that situation, it's, the thing is stripping, it's not working. Okay. Remove the situation when you're thinking with a clear and logical mind, but when you're frustrated, you're just going to double down on the harder thing that you think is going to be there. And so you saw him like chipping back with coaches, or, you know, like kind of arguing with the lineman or a running back or whatever. Like, you saw him getting frustrated. So defenses are going to do that to him. Like, from a pragmatic perspective, you know, you talk about like competitive. We were texting earlier about this and you used a pretty good example. Like, you can be a competitive asshole, and that's fine. The two greatest, arguably the two greatest basketball players of all time, with Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan, you would not say that they are nice people on the court, but by doing that, you kind of pull everybody up with you. When you're holding a standard of excellence, then you say, you need to meet my standard of excellence, match me. But if you're playing poorly and you're being a competitive asshole, then everybody kind of like, you kind of get, there's less rhythm, because
it's easier to turn
like,
you off. Yeah. It's
right.
Easier to turn you off and be so, like, screw you, man.
Yeah. So he's got to figure out a way, you know, again, being a competitor, either you can be that, but you have to be able to keep your brain open. You know, like when Kobe Bryant is pissed off and he wants to, or that Celtics Heat game when LeBron James is just like death, murder, staring everybody. And it's like, give him the ball and get out of the way. Like, when there's that going on, you're still seeing the floor. You're still operating in a way that you can be a great player and not zero in on everything, because it's your own choice of how you're approaching everything, as opposed to being forced in a direction. So like, he's got to figure out, you know, how to not get frustrated when things don't go your way, because things aren't, you know, for the next little bit, things aren't going to go your way until you figure out how to deal with it. It's not. And so I think that's the thing, that it's just a growing pains thing that he's going to have to figure out, both the X's and O's of what defenses are doing and the internal of, how do I not get narrow-sighted and frustrated when I do want to get frustrated?
Man, it's a damn good thing that Xavier Hutchinson decided to come back. 13 catches, 101 yards. Dude is tough as nails, man. I mean, he takes some hits sometimes on some of those balls that you're, the one that he took right into the square of his back on a fourth down. It might have even been their last drive of the game. And then, you know, he was down on the field for a second, popped right back up, came back in the game. Like, he was, I mean, he's our offense at times for like long stretches of the game where it's like, it's just get the ball to eight because no one else can get anything done, especially in, you know, in a game like this, when Jarrell goes out where you can't get that run game going consistently how you want it.
Well, and I think, again, it goes back to Deckers with the narrow-sidedness. I mean, Jarrell was targeted 19, or not Jarrell, Xavier Hutchinson was targeted 19 times. Like, I understand the Randy ratio, but that's a lot.
He's, and he makes me, it makes me nervous, dude, because, like, the more you target him, the more he's left open for some of those big hits that he takes. He takes some big hits, dude, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, there's been some times already this year where, you know, I don't think Hunter's obviously not doing it on purpose, but where X has been left to hanging out to dry, a couple guys have been some different times, you know,
yeah.
And have really gotten smacked on some throws that were like maybe not ill-advised, but were tough throws that he tried to squeeze into tight windows.
Yeah. And those are fine when, yeah, you can't zero in on exactly what's going to happen because, right. You know, at the end of the game, Kansas knew where the ball was going. It was going to number eight because at that point, Deckers had kind of decided this is where I'm going to go, whether that's consciously or not. This is saying this, you know, I'm going to throw it over here. And that's just the way it's going to be. You know, not having a running game or a consistent running game, that very much doesn't help. And, you know, Jarrell being out and Cartavius Norton being out and leaving Deion Silas and Eli Sanders.
Yeah.
Deion Silas, I was trying to think of like how to best communicate the way that he plays because he is really talented and he does some really good things, but he also does some really dumb things. So he is Nick Cannon from Drumline. That is the way that he plays, which is when he has just a situation where it's okay to freewheel, where
he's not reading the music.
It's just here's the ball, go do something. It doesn't require him playing with anyone else. It doesn't require him doing anything that's kind of fundamentally within the grander scheme. He's really good at that. But when you have to be a rhythm section supporting something else, that's the kind of stuff that he's pretty poor at. Like his blocking, I mean, he's little. So like, you got to watch Deuce Vaughn and how you're going to do that. Mm-hmm. To use leverage, you're going to have to cut block a lot more. Cause if you got a 235-pound linebacker coming and you're like a 180, like that probably ain't going to work all that well. But if you hit him in the thigh, you can at least give your quarterback a chance to move. But there are times where he just got thrown out the bar. Like there is a pass rusher coming and they just chuck 22. And then there was other times, like there was in the second drive of the game, I think Iowa State's second drive, there was a unblocked pass rusher that came right up the middle and it was a twist where we called it a double dog. Like when I was there, where one inside linebacker crosses to go to the opposite A gap. And then the other linebacker follows behind and goes to his opposite A gap. So they just switch over the center. And how you have to work that is the center or guard, whoever they're twisting over, takes the first one and you take the second one because you want to give your lineman the most immediate threat and you want to take the second threat. But if you zero in on the first guy, because Silas is looking to the right and that guy from the right is leaving to go to the left. So he follows him all the way to the left. Well, that's actually the center's guy. So then the guy starting on the left and comes over to the right, they're both of the guys are blocking the first crosser and leaves a completely unblocked defender. That's 100% Deion Silas. And that's the kind of stuff that he doesn't quite understand. And there was another one that was like a fourth down, the one where you said he was like Deckers pointed him in the right direction.
Yeah.
What that really was is that was a fourth down to zone read. That was a pull read. That is a 100% a pull read where either Deckers is going to pop out behind the defensive end or he's going to pull it and collapse down off the tackle. And Silas essentially ripped the ball from Deckers. So his hand was still on the ball until he got to the line of scrimmage. He wasn't guiding him where to go. That was supposed to be a pull read. So like he got the first down, like all's well that ends well. But that type of misexecution, if you're Matt Campbell and Tom Manning on the sidelines, it's fourth and one.
You can't feel confident.
Your running back is stealing the ball on a zone read. Are you going to trust him to run that play?
Right.
How else are you going to execute that offense when you don't have, you know, then you say, okay, well, let's either just give it a designed run. Well, they have 10 guys that are stopping the run. Or you say, well, let's just run a quarterback run. Well, you have to have a blocker that can block in front of it. Do you trust Deion Silas or Eli Sanders to block in front of Hunter Deckers? No, there isn't a good fourth and one play, not because they can't execute it. Nick Cannon can play the drums and drumline. Like they've, you know, the flash, the lights from the parking lot of the old alumni.
Yeah.
He's one flash, man.
Yeah.
It's real good. But he has to be able to play within the rhythm of the offense for them to trust him in situations where that's necessary. And that's where Cartavius Norton and Jairoll Brock being out, I understand why you don't go for it on fourth and one, because you go to run zone read, it's a pull read, or even if it's not, he might run in the right spot, he might not run in the right spot. He might pull the ball, he might take the ball from Hunter, he might not take the ball. And then Eli Sanders, a lot of times, won't see it right. His eyes aren't calibrated to where everything should be, because when he hits it, but he doesn't see it as well as he should. So you don't really have a guy that you can trust to be back there at the same time. So the running backs being bad makes it so you have to kick the field goal on fourth and one. All the stuff, it kind of piled on itself. And, you know, it's obviously not an excuse to say that, because you still, you got a 6'4", 210 pound quarterback that should be able to do something. Quarterback, sneak it for a yard, maybe. But I can understand.
He has to be more willing to run some of those times when the pocket breaks down. I mean, there were times, especially in the first half of that game, where he was just like a statue standing in the pocket.
And I wonder if he's trying to still, I can still throw this. I can get out of this tackle and I can still throw this. You know, if I scramble too early, does it make it so I, you know, whatever.
He has the ability to get out and create with his feet. Like that's what I'm saying. I don't understand. You know, maybe it's, we're so used to Brock was early to maybe bail from the pocket. You know, and now mm-hmm. we get in a situation where he's just a little bit late to bail, but it's like he's got to find a happy medium there.
And teams might know that too.
Yeah.
And again, that's, you have to change whatever it is. You have to change, because if you do not, again, back to Brockington, every single team from basically the middle of the season on took away his drive to the left side, especially getting to the mid-range jumper. Yeah. Everything, their entire defensive set was, don't let Brockington get to the jumper, to the elbow on the left side. Don't let him do it. Do anything else. And so what did he have to do? Dribble. He's going to have to drive to the right side to that jumper. Or he'd do it anyway,
and it would have, and sometimes it would work and sometimes it didn't. And that's like the same thing that we're talking about. You know, like sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. You have no idea if it's going to work or not.
But if in that moment, if you're able to use that Brockington thing, if you can shoot threes, if you can take it on, you can be a setup, you know, jump shooter like Kalsher ended up being in the tournament. If you can do that, then that takes away the capacity of the defense to do the thing you don't want to do in the first place. So it gives you the capacity to go back to what you want, but you have to change enough to show that you are capable of doing other things, that they can't just force you into that one box. So it's on Deckers to be able to understand that he's got to do things differently so he can go back to doing them the same way. So he can go back to being on rhythm. He's got to make adjustments where he needs to. But I mean, that's all part of it's all part of being a young quarterback. It's all part of being a young team who is really breaking in almost every offensive position outside of a couple wide receivers and a center.
All right, I've got to go here in just a couple of minutes, so we're gonna start wrapping this thing up. Really quickly, on the offensive line, how did you feel of their performance? I didn't think that they played overly poorly. No one was getting their ass kicked by any means.
No, I thought that was fine, and a lot of it, you know, goes back to the Silas and Sanders thing. Other stuff
out of their control were...
Things that was out of the offensive line's control, where Silas would... Let's say it's an inside zone play and there's supposed to be it's either front side A gap or front backside A gap. You're supposed to stay down the gut unless you can pop it all the way back. And he goes to the front side A gap, takes two jump steps backwards, then looks around and tries to shimmy shake. And all of a sudden there's five unblocked defenders. Well, yeah, no shit. There's going to be five unblocked defenders. The whole rhythm of the play is completely gone. A hole is only open for, you know, not even half a second. You have to hit it where it is and when it is. And I thought the offensive line was fine. Just the running backs weren't getting to where they need to. And then when they did have to help in pass protection, they're getting killed. So it was, the offensive line, I thought, was fine, not great. I thought the skill positions, most specifically Deckers, was bad. And
yeah,
you're going to have those games breaking in a new quarterback that you have to figure out what to do with it. And you have to figure out how you get around what they're going to do. You got Kansas State coming in, which is not an easy task to do that. But, you know, this Iowa State defense is going to give you a chance. to do it. You're going to be able.
Only the second time since Matt Campbell came that Iowa State lost while allowing 14 or fewer points. The only other time was when they lost 13-3 to Iowa in the season opener 2018. So more often than not, the defense is going to give you an opportunity. You just got to be able to take advantage of it. All right, Jeff, we'll talk to you later on in the week on the Iowa Pork Cyclone Fanatic tailgate show. We'll talk to everybody again soon. Peace.